Welcome to Mike and Steve, a podcast in which Mike Carson and Steve Henry interview everyone who graduated in 1994 from Ohio's Cuyahoga Falls High School, one classmate at a time. Today's guest is Brian Schertfeger. This episode was recorded October 5th, 2022.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Mike and Steve. Today, I'm excited to say that our guest on the show today is Brian Schertfeger. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you, guys.
What's up, Brian?
What's happening?
So wait, how do you say your name exactly? Brian Schertfeger?
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's Schertfeger.
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 Yeah.
Schertfeger.
So, I mean, you get used to hearing so many different versions of it, you almost forget how it's pronounced. But I'll never forget my grandmother always corrected me when I was a kid and said it was Schertfeger. Like, it's like, you know,
she's Schwert.
Yes, Schertfeger. Yeah, yeah. Because you hear Schwartz and you're Schertfeger and, you know, there's no Z in it. So, but, you know.
Schertfeger.
Schertfeger, yes.
Was your German or?
Yeah, it's German. Okay. However, she was mostly Irish, but, you know, from my grandfather's side, they were, you know, from pretty close to being straight from Germany, I guess. His dad came over to Akron from Germany.
Wow. Okay, cool. Well, so what we'd like to do is just talk a little bit about high school. Usually Steve does this part, but he doesn't have the yearbook. So I feel
this is a brand new thing for us.
I feel a little awkward. So I'm sorry about this, Brian. I apologize in advance.
No.
But we're just going to read from the yearbook and like talk about what you did. So the first thing, baseball.
Yeah.
Ninth grade.
Yes. Yes, I loved baseball.
Really?
Yes, I did. By far, probably my favorite sport as a kid. And you know what's funny? And I'll touch on this right away because I never got a yearbook. I never got one. I looked through it, nothing. So I don't know what it says. I don't know what picture is in there. So this is
that's
all
funny.
New to me.
Why did you never get one?
Well, a couple reasons. The first one is when it came to getting senior pictures, my family was like, if you want them, you got to go, you can pay for them yourself. And I didn't, and it was like $300 or something like that, if I remember right. And I'm like, well, I'm just not going to do that. So I'm not going to do anything. So I think we went to like Olin Mills out of the blue and just had some pictures taken. And I just turned in whatever we had. It wasn't like I had anything professionally done. So if I remember seeing a picture from the yearbook, it might be some crazy colored shirt, but it wasn't like a tie or nothing like that. I'm not even sure what picture is in there.
Yeah, this is crazy because I'm looking you up in the senior pictures and I don't see you.
Yeah, I don't even know that I don't know what I even gave, honest to God.
Wow, that's crazy.
I
so
know.
You're the first person who's not even pictured here. That is crazy.
Rebel.
Yeah,
you are, man.
And
cool.
Honestly, it was nothing more than just it was just I didn't, you know, my parents didn't want to pay the money to have senior pictures done. I don't think my brother did it. I had an older brother. I don't think he did anything either, and he I'm not even sure he got a yearbook either. And I just didn't see the value in it. I guess I didn't understand that one day I'd be interviewed in which I had one.
That's cool. Wow. I didn't even know yet. I didn't even know that was an option, really.
But that's no. cool. That's cool. I mean,
I wish I knew. I would have not done it either.
Yeah, I know.
We've all just had no yearbook at all.
I wish I would have now, you know. I don't know. There's just so many things. I don't know if I don't want to say I didn't focus. I just didn't know or pay any attention to, not on purpose. You know, it just slipped by me and I don't know. What are you gonna do? Here we are. Here we are wishing I had one, you know.
So it just says baseball ninth grade. Why didn't you do it the rest of the
Well, because I wasn't all that great at baseball, but I was better at track. And then, you know, I had a good friendship from cross country that moved to track. And I would have been if I would have ran my freshman year, I felt like maybe I would have been a 4-year letterman in track. And I was just better at it, I think. And I had a little more fun with friends there than I did with baseball.
Yeah, you were fast. There was, like, it talks about you, your team. I forget what it said. I don't know. Something like your team of Kevin Horn, you, Zach Baird, and Josh Baird got first place in some, I don't know, some distance race, four times 1600 thing, clocking 1923.
Oh, yeah. The four by mile. With, where was that at? Probably Nordonia. I don't remember.
Yeah, Nordonia. You're right. Nordonia.
Nice.
Yeah.
Damn, you remember the meet and everything.
I don't know them all, but I do remember that one for whatever reason.
Well, that's a highlight.
You know, yeah, it was a good one. It was, I think we just had a really great race. And I think Josh tore it up. He ran the fourth leg, I think, and was just killing it. And that was like maybe one of the breakout runs for him, because he ended up being amazing.
Yeah.
Do you still run?
No, I don't. I had so many aches and pains these days. I swear, I've tried, and I did for a while, and I was doing really good. And then it seemed like every time I try to run, I pull a calf muscle. And now I've got like this degenerative disease in my back, and I've got arthritis in my neck. And, you know, it's just hard to get that. So I try to get into it a little bit, but mostly I've been like walking, like on a tread. We got a treadmill, and I'll put it like a steep incline and just try and break a sweat and do whatever I can, but I can't seem to, and it's, this has been like within a year where this all kind of hit me, you know, there's so many other things going on too. It's hard to find time.
Yeah. So yeah, it says, and then basketball, 10th grade.
Yeah. I love basketball too. That was probably my second favorite sport. I love both of those more than running, for sure. For sure. But I was so skinny and small in high school that 1 year was enough, I guess. Yeah. I couldn't compete after that. I have a good story for you. I remember playing basketball, and I'd go to an open gym, and there was a guy from Stowe who he's the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
What?
Yeah, he went to Walsh and was from Stowe, and we'd come to our open gyms, and he was a big dude. And I remember coaches like saying, like, yeah, you know, get in there at an open gym and guard him. And I was like, this guy's 6'5", you know, 220 pounds. And I was like, maybe 6'135 pounds. And he literally like put his hand on my face and shoved me out of the way. And I was like, oh man, I don't know if this is the sport for me.
Wow. So yeah, I guess so. Cross country 9, 10, 11, 12, and track 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
So you were really good at track and cross country.
Yeah. yeah, I think I found a niche there. That was a lot of fun.
Was that something your family did too, or?
No, not really. I think my dad, when I was a kid, the first time I ever ran any kind of distance was probably third grade. My dad would run like a 3 mile loop, and it was like, I wanted to run with him. And he just did it, you know, for exercise, keep in shape. He didn't run really competitively or anything like that. And that kind of got it started. And then he's like, hey, why don't we run the Oktoberfest? You know, and then I got into that. And then in middle school, you know, this is another good story. In middle school, they had the turkey trot at Roberts. And in sixth grade, you know, it's for each grade. And in sixth grade, I won the turkey trot, and they give you a turkey, you know, which my family was like super excited about. And then in seventh grade, they're like, you're going to win it again. I was like, oh yeah, I want that turkey. So I won it again in seventh grade. And then in eighth grade, you know, I was like, oh, this is a lock, you know? And then it turns out I would have been the first person to win the turkey trot all 3 years. And I end up losing to a kid that failed. He never even ran track or cross country. And I don't want to say his name, but he had failed eighth grade. So this was his second time in eighth grade. And I had really had 2 years on me because I was a summer birthday. And, you know, I was, second place. He beat me by like, I don't know, 5 seconds or something like that. Oh. And, you know, lost my chance, but that was my middle school career in a nutshell.
How did you recover from that? What was that like as an eighth grader?
You know, I, at that point I was like, let's go back to baseball and basketball, you know? and then I had to figure out a way to get a turkey. My parents were relying on that. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. You know,
what was high school like for you, or how did you see yourself there?
Gosh, now looking back, I thought I was a clown. You know, I really thought I was just trying to be really funny all the time. Didn't really take much seriously, especially my grades. I didn't fail anything, but I never really tried hard enough to do well. I really thought all I really just wanted to goof around. I didn't see myself, I don't know, that's kind of it in a nutshell. I wish I would have tried a little harder academically and maybe didn't goof off as much. And it really showed when I finally got into college and realized that I had to study to move on, you know, to get good grades. It was a reason for studying, not just to goof off and be funny in the classroom, you know. I don't know. That's kind of how I see myself now looking back. I certainly don't regret having a lot of fun, because I think we did a bunch of stuff that was fun. And in high school, now that we're on it, there's this story that's really been in the back of my mind since you guys reached out, and I hope that you guys remember it, and I hope that you're both there. But it was such a great prank that I believe Steve for sure was there. But we had two cars, and it was in high school, and we were at Friendly's, okay? And it was around Halloween, and Steve, I think you were in the other car, and you're like, hey, we were talking about some graveyard, and there was this woman that always stood outside the grave, and it's just the craziest thing to see, and I was like, we're going to go see that, right? And I believe, Steve, if you remember this, chime in if I'm wrong, but you guys were like, no, you know, we've seen it. We're not going to go, but we'll catch up with you. We're going to go, you know, somewhere else. And I was like, dude, let's go see this woman. I want to go see this. This is like crazy. What else are we going to do? So we get into the car, and I think it was Zach and We go there. Hold on, my daughter. Sophie, please. All right. Go. So anyhow, I was like, this is crazy. And I mean, everyone's in on it, I think, but me. And we get there. Steve, do you remember this? Or do you remember?
I have the vaguest memory of this. I don't, I'm waiting. It sounds familiar, but I don't know where it's going.
Well, it was so good. So they're like, fine, let's go. And I think maybe Zach is driving. He's like, I've seen this before. See, it's not that big. It's a little weird, but he's like, well, we'll park over here, you know, out of sight, and we're going to walk around, and then we can see her from there. You really don't want to get close. And I was like, come on, let's go. So we get out, we go, and then there's this silhouette of a person in this big coat. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow, it's really her. It's like, and I swear it was you, Steve, in the coat, but I mean, I didn't know at the time.
Steve, you think it was me in the coat?
I thought it was, but also ultimately I'm like, what the heck is going on? I'm trying to get closer, and it's like all of a sudden it starts running at us. She starts running at us, and I was like, I swear I probably screamed like a little girl. I screamed so loud and ran, and everyone's just laughing their ass off. And I was like, what? And then I think it was Steve that was in. I thought it was you in the coat, and I was like, that's the best prank ever. This is the best prank ever. And maybe it wasn't you in the coat. You were with that group, but there was a lot of us. But it was awesome, and I remember it. The names and the people were it's vague, but hilarious.
You remember that, Steve?
I don't remember being in the coat. this sounds very familiar. If someone remembers being in the coat, please call in and let us know.
Yeah, and maybe the story has changed in my mind over the years, but I do remember that the joke was on me. I'm pretty sure.
Are you saying like someone was waiting at the graveyard just for you to show up after all that?
So you set the table at Friendly's. Well, the one group in the car says, well, we've seen it before. We're not going to go there. And you guys drove off ahead of us to the graveyard. And then, you know, everyone kind of stalled. Everyone was stalling like, we'll go. Just give it a couple minutes. Not yet. I don't know. Maybe we won't go. And I was like, what else are we going to do? you know,
Friendly's in Cuyahoga Falls and we're in high school.
Yeah, let's go. I was like, this sounds really cool. And then, you know, of course, there was enough time for the other car to get there.
I see.
And it was so awesome that it just stuck in my mind. The names in the groups, who knows, there might have been, you know, 10 other people there. I don't remember, but it was hilarious. And I want to pull that prank on somebody one of these days for sure.
Now's the time. This is a perfect story for first episode of October.
Yes.
No, everyone's going to be trying that prank.
I know. It was good.
So, Brian, could you give us a brief history of event, brief timeline of events since high school?
Okay, so as soon as I graduated high school, I moved onto the Akron University campus, like in September. And then I went to Akron for 6 years. Collectively, this is interesting with today's kids, but collectively for 6 years, maybe lived at my parents' house for a total of 3 months, just moving in and out to between places. You know, always had a job when I was at Akron, but it took me 6 years to get my bachelor's degree. And then I bought a house in Cuyahoga Falls. And really, I haven't left Cuyahoga Falls aside from living at Akron. And then honestly, I lived on Kent State's campus and drove to Akron for classes 1 year. A friend of mine was like, hey, you know, we're looking for someone to fill in for someone else who had to move out, and they paid for the year and you could pay him. So that's what I did. But, so I bought a house on one side of Cuyahoga Falls, and I had some friends live with me for a while. And then I got married in 2008. When my wife and I had our second kid, we bought another house in Cuyahoga Falls, and just moved to the other side. Now we go to the Woodridge. We're in the Woodridge School District. You know, as far as the timeline there, it's not that exciting. Not a whole lot going on other than a few job changes. Some international travel for work, which was kind of fun. I went to Germany for a little bit for my current employer. Cool. That's about it. Not too exciting.
You have two kids?
Yeah, two kids.
How old are they?
10 and 7.
10 and 7. Cool. I have a 4 and 6-year-old.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah.
So yeah.
Boy, girl.
Yep. Yeah. You too?
Yeah. My son is the older one. He's 10.
Me too. Yeah.
Keeps cool. us busy. Yeah.
What kind of work do you do?
So I'm a engineer for BASF, chemical engineer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting.
Is it?
It is. I could share a couple good stories with you. One that's pretty funny, and then one that's kind of serious at the same time. So I'll tell you about my trip to Germany. So there's a company there that was building some stuff for us, and I needed to go out and qualify this equipment. And the first thing that happened really was when I showed up, they're like, what are you doing here? You know, they weren't ready. They weren't ready for me. So that was awkward, you know? And of course that meant that they weren't done. So, you know, you spend all this money on a plane trip to Germany and then they're not expecting you. And then of course the stuff wasn't done. So there's some miscommunication there, but we made the best of it. But I remember being there. Like, what are you doing here? Who are you? They're like, Schwarzenegger or Schwarzenegger? Like, come on.
How do you say it in America?
Yeah, this is Germany, you know? But the funny story I have is like, I wanted to experience Germany as best I could there. And I wanted to use their transportation system. You know, they have buses everywhere, bicycles everywhere. So I wanted to use the busing system, and you got to buy this ticket. And then, so I was at work for a full day, and I was talking to one of the guys there that I was working with. And he's telling me how to get on the bus and how it'll just take me right back to my hotel. And it's like, you got to buy this ticket over here. And then when you get on the bus, you got to stick this ticket inside this blue box and you're good to go. So, you know, so I bought my ticket. I had my ticket in my hand and I get on the bus and I can't find that blue box. You know, I'm looking around and I'm just standing there. Well, the bus just takes off. And I, of course, went flying into a bunch of people. And I stepped on this woman's foot and she cussed me out in German, like hardcore. And there I am, like, I'm sorry, speaking English, because I don't speak German. I'm speaking English. I'm so sorry. And she, I get the dirtiest look ever. And she was so mad. And I'm just trying to find a place to sit down. And of course, the only place to sit is right in front of her. So I have to sit down in front of her, like, put my head down, like, oh my gosh, this is awful. You know, I can't wait to get off. And she sat there the whole time, like grimacing in pain. Her foot hurt so bad. That was hilarious at the same time, but awkward, you know, awkward. So that was my German.
You think she was playing it up a little bit? the grimace?
I think so. Yeah, I do. It was weird. I was like, man, I was sweating like a pig. Like I could not wait to get off that bus. And I almost got off early just because I was uncomfortable. I didn't. I stuck it out, and it was like a story ever since, you know.
I wonder if she remembers that.
Maybe yeah. She still limps around, you know.
Like, yeah. Truth be told, I had steel-toed boots on, so I'm sure it didn't feel great.
I saw someone get run into with a shopping cart at the grocery store a while ago. And I felt like she did a similar, like she was like, she got hit from behind with the grocery cart and it must've really hurt her or something. Or maybe she was playing it up also. Cause she was like, she was like grimacing and groaning for like 10 minutes. Like I was like I went about my business and went like to another aisle and came back and she was still over there going, oh.
Steve, you hit her?
I didn't hit her. No. I saw her get hit. I did not hit her.
I thought you hit her. And then like she was grimacing. You walked around.
And I just walked away. Did my job.
Then you came back. She's still grimacing.
No, somebody else. I think the person who hit her kind of was hanging around. But I was like, really? Fine. Shake it off.
Shake it off. You're fine.
Wait, was that the funny story or the sad story?
Well, that's the funny story. That's the funny story. Well, the other story is a little more like I was involved with a safety accident at work, and with the same equipment that I was in Germany to buy, we get it back to the States, and it was a couple months later, so we move hazardous material through this tubing and through a catalyst bed under high pressure and I don't want to say extreme heat, I guess. And so I'm doing some troubleshooting and because it's a new piece of equipment, we don't exactly know how it works. And obviously it wasn't even ready when I was supposed to qualify in Germany, but I'm trying to troubleshoot these sensors. There's these sensors that open and close these valves. And they weren't working right. And I couldn't figure out why. And I'm sitting there with the manual. And there's this aldehyde that's being pumped through the tubes. And I'm sitting there and I've got glasses on and because I need them to read anymore. And they've got side shields and I'm reading the manual. And then I'm looking kind of over my glasses at the tubing and the sensors, and it blew up in my face, and it like lacerated my eyes, and I couldn't see. I went to the eye wash, and this material is about the worst smelling material you could possibly imagine. It's horrible, and luckily it's not caustic, so it's not burning my face or eyes, but the pressure, it was I'm guessing 500 PSI pressure. And it just went straight over my glasses in the perfect angle on my eyes. And I go to the eye wash and, instantly washing my eyes. And, the first aid comes in and they call an ambulance. And then I'm in the eye wash the whole time. And, finally, the ambulance there comes and they say, okay, well, step on out of the eye wash. You know, we're going to take you to the emergency room. And I step out and I can't see. I can't see anything, nothing. All white. Everything is white. Wow, and I was at that point like cussing. I was throwing cuss words out and mother F this. And, you know, I was quite upset at the time. And it was a crazy moment, you know, and stank still real bad. I got a lab coat on, you know, you peel the lab coat, but it doesn't matter. This stuff fall. I can smell it in my nostrils still to this day.
Really?
It's just a horrible smell, you know, but anyway, I get in an ambulance and again, I just in like, like really mad and in shock and was like, what? Well, all of a sudden, I'm never going to see my kids' faces again. I'm never going to see a baseball game again. I really didn't know how to handle that. And, finally get in. And at the same time, it hurts so bad because it kind of split my eyes open a little bit. And they're giving me this painkiller, which was incredible because I was like, wow, I'd put drops in and then I'd feel fine. And then I'd be in a lot of pain like 5 minutes later. So I was like constantly wanting it. But we get to the hospital and slowly this white turns to just some blurry shades. And I still don't know if I'm going to see again. And, I got a lot of doctors coming in and out and it was crazy. And they're trying to call my wife. And there was a doctor that came in and I could see just a blur at this point. And it was the best moment of this experience. Cause he said, Brian, I've seen this before, not particularly this chemical, but, I've reviewed the SDS. He says, you're going to be fine. He says, the eyes are an amazing organ. You're going to be fine. Don't worry. You'll be fine. You'll see again. And I was like, wow, I needed that moment.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, I mean, I couldn't see perfectly fine, but I mean, a couple hours went by and these blurs become a little more colorful blurs. And I could see a little bit more they put these, contact lenses in my eyes and they act as band-aids for a bit. And I kid you not, my eyesight returned, to almost full capacity within 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks.
Damn.
Yeah, it was incredible. I couldn't believe it. I went from like not seeing it at all to being completely fine.
No surgery or anything like that?
I didn't have to have any surgery. It was just, and at the time they wanted to see how it would heal. And I guess it just healed itself really, really well. And I was in shock.
Wow.
That it went that well.
When was that?
This, I want to say this was at least 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
Well,
but crazy. Yeah, it was crazy.
Speaking of that, this is a good segue to. What have been some defining moments in your life since high school? Or what are some struggles you have overcome?
One struggle that we had, and I say we because it was my wife's. Her dad was an alcoholic, and we really struggled to help him. And it was to the point where, he wouldn't let us in his house or his condo. And he really wasn't trying to fix the problem. And we would try to threaten him with like, you can't see your grandkids, you need to clean this up. And he ultimately drank himself to death. He died, I think that was 4 years ago. But for my wife, because she's an only child, and she had, a special relationship with her dad, and he lived close, her whole life. And she felt like that he needed her help. And our kids were real little, and it was a struggle. That was a struggle for our whole family, to try to help him. And the day he passed was actually just a few days ago was the anniversary. And it wasn't a great experience for my wife either the day he died, because he had this condition called ascites, where your liver is filtering fluids into your stomach, and you're just stomach bloats, and he'd have to have his stomach drained of this fluid, every other week. And it'd be like 2 liters of this black sludge. And on the day he died, previously he had several episodes where he'd end up in the hospital. And one particular time he ended up in the hospital. We hadn't been in his house for a while. And then we end up having to, when he was in the hospital, we had to like really clean his place. So we had to basically throw the refrigerator out. There was knee deep trash. There was a path to the, path to the kitchen, and he had a dog. It was just a bad situation. He wasn't taking care of himself or the house, or there was some complaints from his neighbors that were concerned about a fire because he smoked. In the condos are, adjacent to one another. So they were really concerned that he might pass out with a lit cigarette and no one would know. But it was a struggle. And in the day he died, he had called my wife and said that, he just wasn't feeling good. And I asked if she could bring him over some Gatorade. And he had missed his appointment to get his stomach drained. And she went over there, and it just didn't go well. He had started throwing up, and it was all this bile or whatever it was, it was backing into his stomach. And she called an ambulance, and he did. I don't believe he really made it even to the hospital. I think he passed away before even there. So that was a struggle before, and then to put all the pieces together after that and get his place figured out. And that was a struggle after, with two kids too. And the only other family her and I have here, aside from my grandparents, is at the time, I believe her mom and husband were living in Boston. So it was just us. So put a lot of stress on her, try and get this cleaned up. And if you can imagine, I don't know if your parents have passed or anything, but it's not an easy thing. Mm-hmm. Especially in that manner. So that was one of the toughest struggles that we've had together, I think, for sure.
Yeah. Hmm. So you knew him, must know. When did you get married? 2008.
Yeah, 2008. I've known him for a while. I met her. I met her in 2000, and she graduated high school in 2000, and I graduated college in 2000. And I think we were introduced by mutual friends. So we didn't really start dating right away, but I've known her dad for a while. And he always treated me pretty good. He was a nice person. He just struggled with alcoholism. It was hard. And I felt like at some point he didn't really want help. And some people get to that point,
Was he struggling with that, like when you first met him, or did it develop over time?
Yeah, it did get worse. It just seemed more acceptable when I first met him, I guess. It wasn't like he was a belligerent or anything in front of us. And maybe for him, it just got a little worse and worse every year. But certainly, I think that alcohol played a role in their divorce with my wife's mom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a family member pretty recently also die from the same thing, from drinking, and yeah, at a pretty young age and stuff. It's hard and sad. Yeah, because you can't really do anything for them, as much as you want to, you can't fix it for them.
Yeah.
But well, thanks for sharing that, man.
Yeah.
And are you ready now for make the sound with your mouth?
What do we got? What's it going to be?
This is the worst part of the show because we always can't think of anything to come up with. But anyway, I'm going to try it. If you've listened to the show before, so you know how it works.
Yeah.
Did you ever play this with us back in high school?
I don't think so.
You don't? Okay.
No.
Mike, you have a thing?
I have a thing. You have a thing?
I did have a thing I was going to try.
Okay, let's do your thing, man.
I don't know if it's going to work. It's hard to do these things over the Zoom. And hold on, I got to drink some water. Maybe I'll just gargle. But I guess that's not fair, because then I could just make that myself and win the game. See if you can pick this sound up.
Okay.
It's over here.
So Steve, you'll make this. Well, okay, first we'll just see if we can hear it.
I don't know if you're even going to be able to hear this. And I'm also not going to be able to replicate it perfectly each time. But
I did not hear it, man.
Yeah, it's not loud enough. It sounds much louder.
We're going to have to do my backup sound.
It's like I thought almost.
I hope.
Watch a YouTube tutorial on how to do these sounds over. This is like a cat toy. Like, my cats bat these balls around. And it sounds so freaking loud. Like, when they're playing with it, it's like, what are they doing in there? And it's like, and I knew, like, when I tried to make the sound through this microphone, it just doesn't pick it up the same way.
Well, we're going to have to hope that this sound, I'm going to need a moment, though. Hold on one second. Okay. Let's see if you can hear this. Hopefully you can hear this. Can you hear that?
I heard it.
You heard it?
Okay. I did.
Okay, good. Maybe this will work. Okay, Steve, you got to make this sound first. Okay, wait. I'll do it one more time, and then you gotta make the sound. Ready? Right. I don't know what's wrong with your microphone, man. I could barely hear that.
You couldn't hear that? Are you serious?
You got to change the noise cancellation.
I turn the gain up here.
Not really.
You can't hear that?
Not really, man.
Can you even hear me talking?
I can hear you talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't hear that.
I didn't really hear it. Brian, are you hearing anything?
You guys are messing with me.
It's like a sound only dogs can hear, I think. Yeah. A little bit there, I think.
I don't know, Steve. You need a new microphone. Okay, Brian.
What's going on?
Yeah. My turn?
Yeah, I'll play it. I'll do it again, and then you can make it. Okay, here we go. That's good. Very good.
I will try to get a little. I think I pulled a muscle.
That sounded painful.
Yeah.
You guys are going the blowing the air lips strategy. I don't know if I'm going to do that strategy.
Yeah.
I might risk it all and not go that way, but that does seem like a safe one. Okay, here we go. Here.
Ooh, that pitch was pretty good there, I think.
Wait, let's see if you hear this.
I hear. I heard that one.
I switched from this fancy microphone just to the computer microphone. I don't know what's going on with this thing. Maybe it tries to block out unnecessary noise.
Yeah, probably. Well,
God damn
it. Where do both of you guys live now?
I live in Maryland, in Rockville, near DC.
And I am just outside Philadelphia.
Nice. Yeah. Both married?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kids for me, though. Just married. Cats only. Cool.
Nice.
But
we didn't get a chance to talk about the falls too much.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. It's good. They broke ground for the new high school last week, I think it was.
Oh, really?
You know, which I found to be cool. I'd like to see them get a new high school.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know that I think just the enrollment numbers for Cuyahoga Falls are down quite a bit. And it's just, they just need it. They need something. That city needs something to bring some more families into town, you know.
Where's the high school going to be?
At that Bullock, that block where Bullock is. So it'll be a big campus, middle school. You know what? I don't remember if there's an elementary school, but I think a middle school and a high school will all be on that block. Just one.
Wait, what?
One middle school.
It'll be like where?
Like Bullock and Newberry. You know that big block where the track is and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be just around there somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, the whole block, I believe, there'll be two big schools and just kind of make it into like this little campus. I mean, sounds great. I guess I didn't really look at the plans all that well, but they need to do it. That's for sure.
I think there's a new stadium going there too.
Yeah, I hope so. I think so. They could probably use it. Yeah. I see a lot of guys that we graduated with often, I suppose.
Really?
Well, yeah. I hung out with Brian Wilson quite a bit, and I see Clint Ryan a lot, and Chris Furry and Andy Shepard. If you remember those guys, they all live around town still, and see them on occasion, you know.
Whenever I'm in the falls, I'm always nervous because I think I seriously have like a little bit of face blindness. Like I can't recognize people very well.
Yeah.
And I'm like walking around, like everyone I look at who's remotely close to my age, I'm like, do I know them? Do I know them?
Yeah. Well, like, also,
maybe I know them. Do,
we've changed, you know, a lot of, I mean, it's been a while, you know?
Yeah.
Between face blindness and it being like 30 years, it's like, I could walk right past someone I saw every day and not say anything at all to them. It's not a diss. It's just like, I don't recognize you.
I think that's acceptable these days. You know, we're you know, mid 40s now. You know, it's completely acceptable, I think.
Okay, thanks.
If someone didn't recognize me, you know. I think I saw someone at our last, and it was the 20th high school reunion. And I went to it for a little bit, and I saw someone I remembered from school, and they're like, I don't know you at all. And I was like, shoot. Well, you know, that's fine. I was like, that's all right. You know, I remember you because we played baseball and he played baseball in my first year. And it made a lasting impression, I guess. Yeah.
Well, it's especially bad when you're doing a podcast and you interview people and you're like, I'm sorry, I forget completely who you are. I mean, not you. I definitely know you. Yeah. You know, I have felt bad.
There've definitely been a few where it's like, oh, it's you, right? Okay.
Yeah.
You're that guy. And like, yeah, you combine memory. I mean, it's been a long time. At this point, it's getting, you know, further and further away.
Here's something that I'm embarrassed about my high school career as well. And I listened to some of these podcasts and you guys are talking about some of the things other people do. And one thing I was completely blind to was the musicals. And I know, Steve, you were in some and some of the guests were in some. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, there were musicals? like what? I was like, what school? I'm thinking like, man, that's the part of me that like just had, maybe I just had tunnel vision. I only saw what I wanted to see and I wasn't involved with much other than only what I wanted to do. And I'm trying to teach my kids to be open to everything. And like, I just can't believe I was like, wow. Now I'm thinking, I wish I would have seen that. I wish I would have seen that musical. Sounds cool.
Elaborate. Yeah.
You know, I bet you it was hard. I bet you that was pretty tough to do.
There's a lot of work that went into. I was only like I played in the pit orchestra, just the horn. Like the people on stage with the major roles, like they were just working all the time.
Yeah.
Putting those lines down.
Yeah.
So much work.
Impressive.
I guess it's like a big high school. So I feel like there's stuff, like you can't know everything. Like we just had Jen Grafe like two episodes ago, and she like did a lot of art that I had no idea like was happening. Like all this crazy art projects she did. Because there's something in the yearbook that they had done. I was like, what is this? I had no idea this visual art stuff was taking place.
And there's all those organizations in the yearbook. We're like, what the hell is that?
Oh, I remember hearing one that even she didn't know what it was. And she was clever.
Yeah, that's happened a few times.
But embarrassingly, what you read from my yearbook is all I did. That's it. Baseball, track and cross country, and 1 year of basketball. That sums it up.
Well, there's
you should see Mike's.
Yeah, you should see mine. It was definitely more than me. You participated in high school more than I did.
But it was fun. And here's something else I'll say about before I ruin everyone's night. But I'll always remember this too. And they had those motivational, speeches. We'd go to the auditorium and join the army or whatever. And high school is the best 4 years of your life. I remember hearing that over and over and over again. And I thought to myself, man, you know what? In high school, like, yeah, this is awesome. This is the best. This has been the best. And then when I went to college, it only took 2 years to say high school was not at all the best 4 years of my life. This is way better. This is way better. I don't have any supervision. I'm going to parties, meeting girls. This is the time of my life. This is the best 4 years of my life. Well, then it being six. And then I'll say one more step. Then when I graduated and then I got a job and then I've got money in my pocket and, all of a sudden I'm going to Cancun and I'm going to Colorado on ski trips. And I'm like, this is the best 4 years of my life. Now this is the best 4 years of my life, And then I got married and all of a sudden I didn't care about going to parties and my wife and I liked to go camping and we had kids and they're hard work, but it's hilarious. And I was like, this is the best 4 years of my life. So it just seems to have gotten better and better. And I look back at high school, like, man, I don't know who thought that was going to be the best 4 years of life. I feel sorry if that was the best 4 years of your life. Do you guys agree with that or no?
I agree. I mean, high school might have been the worst 4 years, but middle school is in there. I mean, but yeah. I mean, that's a good attitude. That's a great attitude, I think.
Yeah, my experience is definitely the same. Like, college was way better than high school, and then I went to graduate school, and that was better than college, I think. And then first real job, like with my own apartment, was really great. And then got married, same thing.
Ups and downs
in there, but
your goals change a little bit, but it seems to be, we've always found the fun in things, I guess. I won't take up any more of your time, guys. It's probably what, 2 hours now.
No, we're good.
Well, I've been yapping.
1 hour. Perfect. Well,
thanks so much for doing this, man. It was really great to catch up with you.
Yeah, same. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate you thinking of me. I was surprised, but I do appreciate you thinking of me. That's cool.
We need to have some good stories.
We had some ups and downs in this phone call, didn't we, guys?
We covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah. But if you're ever in town, I got some other good stories for you. That would be fun, and I'd love to have a beer with you.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be awesome. Maybe I'll be in town for the Guardian World Series.
Ooh, yes.
All right. Well, it's great talking. Thanks so much again for doing this. And that's a wrap on the show. All right. Why thanks.
Not? Thanks, guys.
Mike and Steve is a production of Mike and Steve LLC and was produced by Mike Carson and Steve Henry with generous assistance from Tracy Marzich. You can find Mike and Steve at mikeandsteve.com and also on iTunes and Stitcher. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can also leave comments, questions, or messages to include in future episodes at our voicemail box at 330-731-1335. Once again, that number is 330-731-1335. Thanks for listening and have a great week.